CliffCentral.com. We must get into part two on the 3rd of September. Hey, Nola, how about that? Nailed it, huh? Segue.
World Golf Day, lest we forget. Well, it's
National Golf Day today.
National Golf
Day. It's National Golf Day today. So if you're a golfer, how about that? If you're not a golfer, you think, oh, Ben, for fuck's sakes, no one cares.
Yeah, it's kind of just... don't really know what else to say.
We need to get something very important right now.
Oh.
And that is Sia.
Yes.
Rather late than never.
This morning, I actually was very mindful of the story that I wanted to bring. I knew who was going to be in studio. So I thought, what does Ben like? Sport. And what's Leanne really passionate about? Animals. And how do I put the two together?
You got a dog on a skateboard? Oh.
You got a dog playing golf on National Golf Day?
Actually, I'll give it to you guys. I'm actually quite close. But the Brazilian Open, which are the tennis games that happen there, are using, are you ready, sheltered dogs as ball boys.
Oh, no, that is too cute.
That's amazing.
I know. So this is now...
There's going to be no tennis being played. Those dogs are going to just sit down and eat the ball. Here, Esteban. They're just going to chow the balls.
But what do they do? I mean, the dog must want the ball all the time.
Yeah. Well,
so they probably have to restrain them and then let go when it's time.
Exactly. The dog's not going to go, oh, wait, 15:30, now it's my cue.
Yes.
They've been trained, so that's the good part of it. Listen to this. This is now the second year running that six shelter dogs have replaced actual ball boys or ball girls at the Brazilian Open in Sao Paulo. Now, this is what is even cute. So please Google this. You'll find videos around this. It's the cutest thing for me that I spotted this weekend. The dogs even wear sweatbands on their wrists. They wear scarves around their neck to complete this ultimate tennis look. So they actually have great retrieving ability.
Oh, wait, that one's having a wee. That one's having a big shit. Actually, that one's
it's having a poop.
This dog's shitting on the clay courts.
Oh, you gotta go, you gotta go.
Oh my gosh. This dog just put a massive steaming turd behind the baseline.
Never mind. Well, that one in particular has been trained as well, though. But I think, isn't it just quite a sight to see? It is the entire Brazilian Open, and you know, competition is strong and it's getting intense. And there are these dogs who are just like all over the court.
And the tennis players get these slobbery balls. Right. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that's
hopefully,
not exactly.
Keep it in context.
I don't think they thought that far. But Madalena Spinazzola, who is part of the team who made this happen, explains the reason behind the dogs' involvement. And they say that, you know, they are dogs that have had a difficult life, but what we want to point out is not the history suffered from the past, but rather to prove that no matter where they have gone, no matter what they have gone through, they can be great companions today and in the future. And so to have the Brazilian Open support this means a lot to her, and they definitely all believe in it. So they continue to say that by taking the dog dolls, that's what they've called them, to the courts, we again want to show the public that dogs waiting for a home only need high quality affection, care, and nutrition. No matter their origin or age, when they are loved and fed properly, they can be wonderful companions. They can play, they can learn new things, and they can also do great things. So really, I say at the Brazilian Open, the dogs have really stolen the
show.
They're
like walking adverts. I mean, you know how many people in the crowd are going to want to adopt them.
Yeah.
They get to see them in action and all dressed up. It's so cute.
Especially the one with the wristbands on.
Yeah.
And also, like, the more time and effort you put into your pets, obviously the greater reward you're going to get. Your pet's healthy and happy. You're going to have an amazing relationship. But that dog who put the giant steamer in the back there.
Go boy.
And that dog, you can see, is confident. He's not going, oh, I'm going to take all this in until we go outside. He's like, no, screw it.
He doesn't procrastinate.
40 love. Take that. Ah, cheap shoes, yeah. They are like cheap accommodation on holiday. It never ends well. So what about design and decor? Black Pearl Lifestyle, Black Pearl, the dog is slow on the screen here.
Is it distracting you?
Black Pearl Lifestyle's Siabesho Tuta and Zimkita Ziduma give tips on the items we should all be spending our money on right now. It's all in the latest episode of Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Now, Taylor Blinds gives you the perfect... Sorry, Taylor Blinds perfects your views. They dress up your windows from the high home, from your home to your office, with the assurance of 60 years of high-quality products. Taylor Blinds and Shutters brings home the textures, colors, fabrics, patterns, and innovative materials that your space has been waiting for. More on cliffcentral.com, the website, if you go right now. And Lerato, she's been with us for a while now. She put so much time and effort into getting her guests and her content. And of course, she's just such a larger-than-life character. I mean, she's great having her in studio. I know Jane gets really excited when she comes in. Yeah. Mostly because she's just been seeing us.
Lerato's a rock star. We love her.
Yeah, she really is fantastic. So that, along with all the other focus and feature shows on cliffcentral.com right now, or you can just find more of this show. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. I'm not Gareth Cliff, but this is the Gareth Cliff Show, and Gareth Cliff will be in Germany this week. Sia, are we going to be talking to him?
We'll see how his schedule on that side is. Otherwise, if he can't Skype us, then perhaps he should send us, you know, voice notes and updates, and we'll be able to let you know what he's exactly up to there.
What is he doing again?
He is there with the, I always battle to pronounce them, the Friedrich Neumann Foundation. That's what
sounds legit.
Yeah.
I believe you.
But they are the foundation that brought us our podcast series, actually, Freedom Versus. If you still want to catch up on that, you can go into cliffcentral.com. But yeah, they're spending the week there on a trip, and there'll also be conferences that they're attending. So they'll be having interesting conversations abroad there.
That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. We've got some messages coming in. Tabo, we can't play video, and I don't know what this picture is that you've sent me.
Well,
so just as a message to anybody else who tries to send us thing on WhatsApp, we want to take anything that we can. It's that we can't play your audio, we can't play your video, and I can't read bad spelling. So, I mean, those are your three major criteria as to how you get onto the show and how we can get going with things.
Fair enough. I think that the picture that Tabo just sent us is this whole new buzz that's now been happening, particularly in South African social media. There's this new thing of now exposing people, and people who have secrets on one another, they'll want to say like, well, I saw this famous person there, or I saw this famous person doing this. Remember last week we touched very briefly on Bonang having a fight with a blogger, Filmbela, and how they want to one-up each other on revealing some secrets of each other's history. Well, now over the weekend, we saw those images, which are screen grabs of a video of some sort, which include the rapper AKA. And if we only can go by what we see, which is examining that one screen grab, which is AKA in what appears to be white tight underwear, shirtless, and he is very close to another man who also, from what and only we can see, is shirtless. So whether they're naked or not, we don't know. But now there's anonymous account on Twitter has said that, you know, they have video of AKA with other men doing, I don't know,
things are getting nasty.
Basically, and saying that it's only a matter of time before he releases the video of, allegedly, according to this anonymous Twitter account, AKA performing gay acts on other men. Mm. Gay sex acts, that's...
You go, AKA. No. You find the joys of spring wherever you want to go.
You've got to spring into action in any way.
I mean, look, I don't even know what this is. I'm just saying, if he wants to do this, it's great. I mean, it's not, who cares, really? But he'll be hounded by the cussy tops if this is going to be the thing.
I just don't understand why.
I'm so glad
why.
You weren't here for that, Leanne. Just giant cocks on a screen here.
Oh, my goodness, me.
Just someone sent that us.
One after the other on the screen. We couldn't do the show. I mean, Sia almost fell off his chair.
Everyone was falling to pieces.
I had to hold the dinosaur as a professional. It was just too much. Just too much cock.
I don't know. I think I've missed that memo. But I don't understand why culture nowadays, or popular culture rather, just gets a thrill out of being nasty and dragging people down.
It's almost like, look at them so you don't look how shit I am, basically. Like, okay, AKA is single, right?
Recently he's single, married, but he's not married, supposedly just dating someone.
Okay, whatever it is. We don't live in Qatar. So I'm not saying he is performing lewd acts with other men, but if he is, go for it. Good on you. But it's like the thing, oh, what a shock. Can you imagine, like, what a shit you are if you're outraged by someone's sexuality? Just think, like, oh, I'd really enjoy this wine more if that person wasn't gay.
Well, I don't think the thing is that they're outraged. It's like, I want to ruin their lives by exposing them. And that is the nasty part that,
straight,
to me, you just can't justify.
Whatever, okay, you go ahead. I mean, come on.
Bone whoever you want.
Yeah.
That's it. We live in 2018, after all. Anyway.
As long as you're not interfering with the kids. Cheapest, there's more stories around those. Let's not get into priests. Let's leave that for Gareth when he gets back next week. Anyway, guys, what's...
Speaking about tearing celebrities apart, cruel weight jibes have left Robbie Williams devastated. So Robbie Williams is now hosting on The X Factor alongside Simon Cowell and alongside his own wife. His wife has spoken out saying that her husband, Robbie Williams, is very sensitive and cruel taunts about his weight have left him devastated. Now, I've looked at the videos and he doesn't look particularly overweight. I thought that he would have put on a shocking amount of weight, but he hasn't.
He's just not the Robbie we knew from the 90s.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That's fine. He's growing older.
Well,
Robbie's old. He's 44.
He's 44.
That's not old.
I know it's not old, Sia, but in showbiz... I mean, he's like it's like a silverback.
I mean, what do they expect from him?
What do they expect from him?
Well, apparently he has an unhealthy compulsion to seek out mean comments about himself online. And this is making his wife really worried. She says, her name's Ada. She says that Robbie comes across as arrogant and cocky, but inside he's a little mushy mensch and he has very soft feelings and a wounded heart. When people write bad things about him, it hurts. I try to teach Rob to stay away from it. Sometimes I have more success than others. So apparently he saw a bunch of stuff online and he actually vomited from anxiety. That's how badly it affects him.
Oh, jeez.
So, he even tried to make a mean comment doing the whole Simon Cowell thing. And he said something that he thought would be funny and he did the mean judge thing. But instead everyone went, oh, and then the makeup artist said, you know, why did you just say that? It's not like you. And his wife said, Robert Peter Williams, where did that come from? You're not that person. He got so panicked, he went upstairs and threw up. So he's not all hardcore, and he's really sensitive about this stuff.
Yeah.
May I just admit something with no judgment?
You still don't know any of Robbie Williams' song other than Rock DJ?
Oh, no. This actually makes Robbie Williams cuter in my eyes.
Look at that.
I don't
you
know
see?
What it is. I'm like, oh, he's sensitive. And I think to me, he's always had this little boyish
naughty little boy.
That sort of persona all the time. And I don't mind a little, you know, chunky monkeyness going on.
I like how his wife's like all out to protect him. I think that's quite cool.
Oh, this.
These are the Welsh Gods playing a tribute to Aretha Franklin. So this is what, Buckingham Palace, yeah?
I think this is so cool.
It is cool. They're standing dead still, though, except for the conductor. It's not like they're dancing or breaking out into music, folks.
Come on, just at least enjoy that. But they did this in honor of Aretha over the weekend. And I, because I'm such a cornball, I at least appreciate the fact that it's like, you know, the Queen's house saluting the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. But I thought that was so, so awesome. Did any of you actually watch Aretha's funeral over the weekend?
No, but Bill Clinton did.
Did you see?
How about all their memes? That guy, he just looks like the creepiest guy in the world. And then it doesn't help that he's just always checking out young girls. Hey, he can't help it. He just can't help it.
Yeah, it was odd because one of the performers they had, they don't call it a funeral per se. I don't know. It's something about Black American culture in some parts of the U.S. They call it a homegoing. Because they believe when you die, you're going to heaven, and heaven is home. So it was dubbed Aretha Franklin's homegoing. And they had a bunch of different performers, one of which was the pop singer Ariana Grande. And because Bill Clinton was sitting on stage, he was just spotted with some very odd facial expressions. oogling over Ariana. But
did you see what happened with Ariana straight after her performance? She was congratulated by Bishop Charles H. Ellis III.
What a name, firstly.
Congratulated or groped?
Well, he groped her. He wrapped his arm around her. So from behind, he put his arm around her. And his hand kind of went under her arm and then very high above her waist. And in the front, his hands ended up on her boob. Fingers pressed against her chest. And he's actually apologized for appearing to grope her. It sparked widespread outrage. Apparently, he wrapped his arm around her, put his hand against her chest, and she looked down immediately because she picked up that there was something going wrong around the chest area. So he says, "I'm really sorry that you had to go through that at Ariana Grande. That groping was beyond blatant and that we could see your discomfort." He said then afterwards, he apologized for groping her. And he said, "I really didn't mean for it to come across like that. I didn't mean that." He also apologized for a joke that he made to Ariana Grande about her name. He said, "When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that this was something new at Taco Bell," he said, referring to popular Mexican fast food chain. "I personally and sincerely apologize to Ariana and to her fans and to the whole Hispanic community, but she's of Italian descent."
I've got to apologize because I have to brush up. My 28-year-old daughter tells me, "Dad, you are old at 60. When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell. Girl, let me give you all your respect. Did y'all enjoy this icon? She's an icon herself. Come on, Mick."
And she's just trying to obviously be a star and go with it. But, I mean, come on.
So cringeworthy.
What happens to you when your 20-year-old daughter's friends come around the house? Are you just as creepy to them? But he's Bishop so-and-so, so therefore he's absolved of any sort of ill because, you know, Jesus.
To me, it's cringeworthy and just so inappropriate on many levels. Firstly, of course, there's the obvious of, well, why were you that close? Why were you groping her? Why were you even touching her, full stop? But then I hate a shoddy apology. Don't apologize if you, well, of course, you don't mean it, but you just want to do it to get off clean in terms of the public. But he apologizes and he says for what appeared to be groping.
Yeah.
Dude, well,
it was very obvious what's going on there because you can just see it. Like, he's looking at her in a certain way. Ariana Grande, despite her name, is actually rather small. But there's still plenty of other places you can put your hand in a jovial sense rather than be groping the side of a boob.
And yes, I know this is getting very specific, but it's one thing to, you know, Leanne, if I were to come up to you and hold on to you, it's one thing for me to hold on and let my hand just stay. He repeatedly was moving his hand around, playing with his fingers, getting deep onto her side. That for me...
And she was wriggling and trying to pull away a little bit. It was really uncomfortable.
And I mean, it's a freaking funeral, dude. Yeah. Can you not be horny pecorny for 2.3 seconds, even though I heard that the funeral went on for 9 hours?
Of course it
now
did,
I'm
yeah.
all about celebrating an icon, but I mean, is there... Do we get a pee break at the funeral? Do we get to stop for lunch? What do you do for 9 hours straight?
Well, what does Bill do? I mean, he just ogled Ariana Grande. After that, he's like, oh, this is so boring.
Well, a new report, a new research report in South Africa, in corporate spaces in particular, has revealed that 30% of women and 18% of men fell victim to unwanted sexual advances at work. This study looked at 1,000 urban living South Africans and was conducted by Columinate. The agency has also found through its research that 26% of women report that a boss or superior is the source of their harassment. The survey suggests workplaces need to have clearer channels for staff to report these cases. Very disappointing statistics, although I think more of it's being reported now than it was many years ago.
30% of women in corporate South Africa today.
Yeah, have fallen victim to unwanted sexual advances at work. And 18% of men.
See, there's just, it's so, firstly, that it's gross and there's never a justification for behavior like this from the part of people who do it. But there's so much to it, and I think my heart breaks for people in that situation because already there's still stigma around harassment or being abused. And now you're at work where you're trying to get ahead or you're trying to please people, and if it is your boss who's doing this, you know, how do you get around that?
Yeah.
Or if it's someone who is on your team and you have to see them every single day, it's tough.
Well, you know, I mean, this sort of thing happened to me being in the radio industry from the age of 21.
Mm.
And that was 20 years ago, let's be honest. and this type of stuff was normal. It was a male-dominated industry.
It was seen as just like camaraderie.
It was seen as a compliment if your boss slapped you on your bum as you were entering the lift. And as a 21-year-old, you kind of feel intimidated and you don't say
exactly
anything about
it. What can you do?
Well, yeah. I mean, what am I going to do? Go and tell my parents, you know? It was just kind of accepted. Sickeningly so.
There's this really great episode of Rick and Morty where they go to this planet and everything seems fine and well and everyone seems so nice. And this old guy says to Rick, well, you best be out of here by sunset. And he's like, why? We know we got stuff to do. We're going to probably spend a day or two here. It's like, just be out of here by sunset. And for one day of the year, these people just get to kill each other. But it just goes in this rampage. And as soon as the sun sets, everyone just gets machetes out and just kills.
Oh,
it's pretty funny. It's like, if you register a sex offense throughout the year, on this one day, you then get given a machete and you can get free carte blanche to go and attack people.
Oh, yeah. It's basically a bit of the purge.
But you have to be registered, though. Can't just willy-nilly go out there and start slashing things up.
You have to be registered, Sia.
registered victim of this kind of stuff. There you go. The stats, we just heard them. And then you can go and then, yeah. So then when the crime happens, you go, well, look, I registered and this was the person I was going after.
Jeez.
Guys, I'm only here for the moderate stuff. Huh? Oh, okay. Just putting it out there. You can take it either way if you want.
Sure. You know, I get what you're saying, Leanne. And yes, we do come from times where what was normal back then is definitely what a lot of people don't stand for now. The way people behaved, how smoking was so normal. And now people will rattle off stats and facts and figures to you in a heartbeat. But now, there is no excuse to me, in my opinion, when in 2018 we still have stats like that.
Hmm.
You know, when you know better, you do better. And the question I think that we should be asking ourselves is why people aren't doing better, you know?
Because they don't feel they have to, see? It's like they don't feel like that bishop there, standing up there. Me, Mr. Big Bishop, I'm going to just cop a feel. I'm on TV, screw it, I'm a bishop. They don't feel they have to be better, and that's the most frustrating thing for me. But it also comes down to it, and we spoke about this with the whole racism thing recently, is that they're not being called out by their peers. They're not being called out by the people they spend every single day with. So they almost feel like, well, it's okay because it makes that guy laugh or it makes me more popular in my clique or whatever. Call people out on their shit behavior, there'll be less shit behavior in this world.
Hey, guys.
But yeah, another death, Senator John McCain, he died. And
Segue. But sorry, before we get to that, just last Aretha Franklin.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Aretha.
Sorry.
It's a 9-hour funeral, remember?
A lot happened.
She is dying out in all 9 hours here.
If I have to be honest, what I took from Aretha, as great as she was in her life, she has really taught me how to be dramatic and over the top even in her death.
She taught you that?
Yeah, I want to restructure what the vision that I had for my funeral when I'm gone. Firstly, the cover of the program at her funeral was this fabulous picture of her. It's like her in these big black glasses and she has this bold makeup. So if you're into that stuff, that's interesting. But from one of her popular songs she released in 1985, it's a song called Freeway of Love, in which in the song she sings about driving a pink Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, only Aretha can do this, at her funeral she had 100 pink Cadillacs that escorted her hearse from the venue in which the funeral was held. So if you don't know what dramatic is, well, now you know. And of course, as we briefly touched on last week, at her funeral, she had her fourth and final outfit change, because every single day she was out for viewing for the public, she changed outfits every single day, and she was buried in this sparkling gold floor-length dress. And, you know, because, of course, casually so, sequenced heels as well. I mean, the drama of it all.
She was really special, though. I mean, all this aside.
So, Sia, what you've taken away from this is that you'd like to be buried in the sequin ball gown.
Yes.
And heels. No,
I am not even joking. This is... it really just makes me sound so screwed up. But because I had ample time to spend with my sister this weekend, we were talking about this, and I thought, would it be weird if I recorded a video message that would air at my funeral?
Hashtag yes. Funeral goals.
Weird. No, like, I was thinking, like, just want to be able to say, hi, everyone. Do not cry over me. I led a great life. I love you all. I think it would be great. I want a video message now. I want to arrive late to my funeral. I know Joan Rivers once, she actually wrote that down. She wanted to be late to her own funeral. I think that would be fabulous. And, yeah, I think, why not? Just
so, like, as everyone's leaving the church, your voice comes on. Sorry, I'm late.
Sorry, don't go. Don't go. Sorry, stop.
Everyone must switch up to my funeral service at like 9 a.m. and my body will be rolled in at like 9:35. And I think I want a vertical coffin somehow as well.
Like, a Barbie in a Mattel box.
Stop, you gave me
that would be brilliant.
Right.
See, I've just packaged up front.
Okay.
Freaky for everyone to deal with.
It's a very different open kind of casket, huh?
I think that would be so incredible. But anyway.
So, Jen, since
she had all of this time, sorry, once again, but she had all of this time, though, to plan her funeral, to want the Cadillacs and the whatnots and the whatnots and the outfit changes. But still, lest we forget, she didn't have time to write a will. So, Let's see what happens with her.
Wills are boring.
Oh,
outfit
yeah.
changes are exciting. A far more sort of casual or under the radar death was John McCain. So his daughter Meghan had this to say, though, which was quite stirring.
We gather here to mourn the passing of American greatness, the real thing, not cheap rhetoric from men who will never come near the sacrifice he gave so willingly, nor the opportunistic appropriation of those who live lives of comfort and privilege while he suffered and served. The America of John McCain is the America of the Revolution. Fighters with no stomach for the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot, making the world anew with the bells of liberty. The America of John McCain is the America of Abraham Lincoln, fulfilling the promise of the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal, and suffering greatly to see it through. The America of John McCain is the America of the boys who rushed the colors in every war across three centuries, knowing that in them is the life of the Republic, and particularly those, by their daring, as Ronald Reagan said, gave up their chance at being husbands and fathers and grandfathers, and gave up their chance to be revered old men. The America of John McCain is, yes, the America of Vietnam. Fighting the fight, even in the most forlorn cause, even in the most grim circumstances, even in the most distant and hostile corner of the world. Standing even defeat for the life and liberty of other peoples in other lands. The America of John McCain is generous and welcoming and bold. She is resourceful and confident and secure. She meets her responsibilities. She speaks quietly because she is strong. America does not boast because she has no need to. The America of John McCain has no need to be made great again because America was always great.
Oh. Dramatic applause. So obviously there was a general dig at Donald in there.
Yeah, for sure.
A decent one, actually.
Even from the beginning, though.
Like lies of comfort and fake rhetoric and stuff. And she's got a point. But the whole thing about when you serve your country, some people think, oh, I'm just going to go do a few months, mostly admin work. Like John McCain was there. And as Donald always said, he'd rather have a guy that wasn't a failed war hero, but rather a successful war hero, because John McCain was obviously captured. But he was like captured, as in like in those movies when they get captured by the Viet Cong, Vietnam people. Forget that what it is. But yeah, he had a very tough life, and it's the ultimate sign of giving and serving to your country. So there's so he's gone.
So Meghan, John McCain's daughter, is now one of the co-hosts on The View. And if you're familiar
she's
with
her, she's a writer.
Yeah.
She's also a blonde Republican.
Well, yeah.
If you're familiar with the style of The View, they have these varying opinions, and it's these ladies on the platform, on the panel rather, and the producers are always very specific as to who they bring on, because they do want to be this platform known for fair conversation, and she's really known as the alt and the one who just says it like it is and will just cut through everything. And I wonder, though, at a funeral, is this also the point to be that say it like it is person? We get it. You don't like Trump, or you have a lot of things to say about him. Is this a place at a funeral to speak about this?
That's an endless question here. We see when people die here and it becomes a political conversation piece.
I don't like that. I don't focus on any other things. Isn't it meant to be about talking about the person, highlighting the good that they did, and that's it?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's the daughter speaking of her father.
Yeah, and the world's watching. Now's, you know, she knows this is her chance.
Jeepers, if you go into her Twitter profile right now, you get to see hawks mating.
Well,
that's Ben. On a side note.
Nice.
Ben.
I just went onto her Twitter profile to see who she is, and she just has this amazing video of these hawks mating. I mean, have you seen hawks mating?
I don't know.
I haven't.
Do they do it while they're flying? Yeah, I mean, interesting.
No, this one's sitting on a tree, and the big guy just swoops down, and with that,
the action begins.
Leanne, is it called mating when birds do it?
Yeah, birds do it, bees do it, educated fleas do it.
but is it seen as mating?
Yes.
What do you want to call it?
It is. Copulating. Banging.
I'll stick to watching cute little dogs be ball dogs at the Brazilian Open. Thank you very much.
That was a very nice story, Sia. Michelle says, Barry Ree does look like, Barry does sound like one of those people with a mouthful of marbles. Also, Sia, Michelle is very upset that you had no idea about these boys and various variations of hair loss were.
Well, I didn't know Barry had a solo career of any sort on his own, but I definitely do know who the Bee Gees are/were.
Well, that's just outright mean.
And I it's not mean. I'm just saying I didn't know. And then more than that, now that I found out that they're all brothers, I think it's slightly weird that they were all, you know, donning these shirts and that were unbuttoned, and they had these choreographed movements where they were dancing very, very close to each other. So,
recent study confirms that men with beards are more attractive. Let's have a quick whip around here on the poll. Nola, men with beards more attractive than men without beards? Yes or no?
Not for me, no.
Okay, see ya.
Depends what sort of beard.
Let's keep us fast. Men with beards or men without beards?
I'm on the fence.
Leanne?
Without.
Okay. There's a bullshit study. Moral of the story is here, don't believe everything you see on the internet.
Do you watch Dragon's Den?
No.
Okay. You know what it is.
I know exactly what it is, yeah.
So there was a guy, when I watched it yesterday, who came in, and he's got a dating app called Bristler.
Oh, that's so clever.
And it connects men with beards with all women with beards, I'm presuming.
Just beard dating.
With people who like to touch beards.
That's fantastic. How absolutely smart.
I know it's really niched, and that's what the dragons were saying in the den. You know, do we invest in something like this when it's so niched? But they want to do it with all sorts of things and not necessarily with dating. They want to set up another app called Bump, which connects pregnant women so that they can have... so they can have conversations, not dating.
Pregnant women together. Because I know that's a fetish somewhere in the world.
Oh, yeah. People are into that. Sure. I mean, everyone goes through cravings in a pregnancy. That's something they're craving.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, every single app that has this, because we as humans are so base, it all goes down to that, just banging. So we're like, okay, we're going to hook up for conversation. No, this bearded man just wants to have sex.
You know,
Bristler, that's brilliant.
2018, we may not have flying cars, but we have apps that will connect you to men with beards. Just going back to your study, though, I don't get how there are people who still are on top of this. How do these intellectuals all gather in the room, in one room, and they say, ah, I got it. Today, we are going to find out whether bearded men are attractive or not. Is that the best way to spend your time?
Well, of course, because the whole thing about science and everything is that you're always testing theories. So you're testing certain thought processes and stuff to different sort of substances.
Okay.
I just completely made that up.
But, what did the survey find?
But the find says here, our findings suggest that beardedness may be attractive when judging long-term relationships as a signal of intersexual formidability and potential to provide benefits, direct benefits to females. Does that make sense? I mean, I know I can't read this morning, but does that make sense? Beards actually blur the lines between masculinity and femininity.
What?
No, because to me...
Because if you've got like a nice angular manly jaw and you put a beard on
that... Oh, I see. Yeah.
So what they're saying is that women basically want everything. We know that. And the beard kind of gives you a bit of, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that.
I don't know. To me, it pushes males more to the male side, like the lumberjack type side.
That's what I would say, because a beard is very much a masculine thing.
Yeah.
A clean face. Like when I shave, my girlfriend thinks I look like 14.
Mm.
Maybe not the biggest turn on for her.
When I shave. It's true, though. These things start happening to a woman when she gets older, believe it or not.
It's a little peach fuzzy.
Yeah.
When I shave my one chest strand.
Yes.
I look less like a man than I do right now. And that's an odd study in my books. And it's all so subjective at the end of the day. You know, depends who it is. And,
AKA's got a beard, yeah?
Well, AKA also wears tidy whities, as we see there. So I don't know about that.
All right, we've got Stuart Theobald. He'll be our guest in the guest hour today. He's the chairman of IntelliDex and the director of Lariba. Why can't I read today?
That's a Monday, Ben. Okay.
Lariba Consulting.
Yes.
Not the hardest word in the world.
No, not that too was, difficult. Not three syllables.
Pretty much easy.
No clicks.
My mouth's never seen anything interesting. So there's no reality check today with Rich Mulholland. But if you want to get a bit of Rich today... I suggest going to his...
A bit rich today.
Yeah, I would love that as well.
I would suggest going to his YouTube channel because he may not be the most diligent with us. Yeah, call us better.
He's at a conference this morning.
Yeah. Conference.
There are no need for air quotes, Benjamin. He is at a conference this morning. We know he's a speaker.
Look, we appreciate Rich's time is what I'm getting at here. Jokes aside, I mean, he's obviously a great guy. And I love his content. But you can go onto his YouTube channel, Rich Mulholland, and you can get stuff every single week because he does. He puts together these videos rather diligently, and they're really good. And it's very similar to the content that he does share with us here. He doesn't exactly just cut and paste what he says here. He generally has every like fresh content for us. So go onto the YouTube channel, and you'll be able to get Rich quick. That's what his videos are called.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so smart.
Oh, look, I'll clear a pen if it's mine, but it's not. Get rich quick. That's what
he still enjoyed saying it, though.
Naturally owned it. Yeah. So, you guys got any other stories you want to share on this Monday to brighten up our already blossoming spring attitudes?
Well, yeah, I don't want to depress with any of these stories that I have now because. What's new? SABC not paying people, but they're able to bring major stars from abroad and also divorces. So let's not go down that road, but rather, big, great week coming up. Ben, I know you're going to roll your eyes at this, but finally I can discuss it. I've been selected this year as one of the... the judges for the South African Style Awards.
Oh, well done, Sia.
Ooh, that's nice.
Thanks. That's what I was waiting for.
Sia has not been able to tell anyone for a month, although he's told everyone in that month.
No, don't put it that way. No. It is actually funny and odd all at the same time because I got the call. The SA Style Awards called me while Ben was in the room and there was, of course, just a very manly shriek.
Make yourself like... When I was in the room, it's like I'm sitting next to you, breathing every neck. It's an open area.
They called me and I was still...
See, I've heard you shriek. It was a
very manly shriek that emanated from my vocal cords. Thank you very much.
That's very exciting.
It is. I know it seems so fluffy and superficial, but it was very, very fun. All of the judges got together for the first time last week, and I still just wonder, really not in a self-deprecating way, but I truly wonder how I was selected, firstly, because who am I in the greatest scheme of the fashion world?
You're just waffling.
But here's the thing. Secondly, there are great, great judges in the team. There's Bastana Khumalo, there's the actress Terry Pett, or there's designer, Johan Kutsia.
Oh, this is quite a panel.
That's why I'm just like, how does Sia get picked for that? But yeah, the awards are coming up in a few weeks' time. They're great categories, from most stylish media personality to most stylish couple. It's not going to change the price of bread, but it's very, very fun for the who's who in fashion to get together. So that's what I'm looking forward to this week.
Well, speaking of the price of bread, it's going to go up because the petrol price will be going up as well.
And then it goes down again.
No, it doesn't anymore. See, it used to. It used to. Now, it only goes up.
I'm trying to think positively.
I know, but, but I mean, one of the steps of Ramaphoria was the fact that you actually don't get any breaks whatsoever. It's all just, it's all losses.
Ah, yeah.
All losses.
It's now Rama reality. That's what we're facing.
Rama reality. But speaking of something that is horrible reality, a fish store in Kuwait has been caught putting fake eyes on fish to make them look fresher.
Okay, I'm done.
Oh, no. Yeah, because the eyes are generally the first bits to dry up.
So generally, if we go to a fish market, look at a fish's eye. It's got
like those googly things attached with the pupils that wobble around.
It's not a good sight. So they've literally taken like eyes that you would find on really bad toys, and they've strapped them onto the fish.
That is just so bad.
No.
So,
I'm so done.
I would like to finish that story today because I'd like to think we're all better than that. So if you are put a fish on a googly eye on an old fish kind of person, this is the week you can turn things around. Be better.
Put a stop to that.
I mean this literally and figuratively. Don't be the fake eye on the fish person this week.
There you have it.
See, how about that for a finish?
Thank you for swinging it into something optimistic.
Brilliant. Nolo is working on the podcast. If you're listening live, you'll be able to get all that kind of stuff, all that good stuff. Go on to cliffcentral.com. That's our website. And you'll see us back tomorrow. Leanne will be back tomorrow.
No.
She'll be back next week.
One day of getting up early a week is enough.
I know. Right, so thank you. I'm now going to play...
Barry Ginn.
Play us a tune.
What does that mean, Leanne?
Press play on a music.
Well, like, what do you want? I mean, you sounded quite critical about... I was going to do this. I was going to play J-Lo.
That would be lovely.
Oh.
Because we started the show today with a pregnancy story. But she ain't your mama. I know. I should be in real radio.
Get rich quick, Ben. Get rich quick.
Join us again tomorrow with more hits, and all nothing but the hits. Blah, blah, blah. Cliffcentral.com.